All right, so we're back here on the Streezy Scoop podcast, and some interesting, a little break from a lot of the budget talk and budget discussion, because there are other things going on in Harrisburg that are really important for folks, and something I know you're excited to talk about. So we've had some updates and changes to the way the PIAA is going to be streaming games and making those games available to local markets, especially in broadcast. So let's talk a little bit about your bill on fairness in sports broadcasting coverage.
Well, it's actually been a couple of bills, Charlie, over the last 5 years. Essentially, this goes all the way back to COVID, when you couldn't attend high school sporting events. So what happened were a lot of our local radio stations live stream sporting events. It's become, you know, a commonplace kind of thing. And our local Renda Media was live streaming a lot of our local high school games, football, basketball, you know, volleyball, whatever the case may be. And then when COVID came, obviously no one could attend those events. And so what happened, I think unbeknownst to some of these school districts, particularly in my area, is they entered into a contract with the National High School Sports Federation, NHSF, I believe. But essentially what happened, well, they signed these contracts for this entity, out-of-state entity, to come in and live stream their broadcast so people could watch them during COVID. But unbeknownst to some of these school boards, I think, was that these contracts provided exclusivity to this entity, and it essentially blocked out our local broadcasters. So this was brought to my attention back in 2001, you know, just at the end of the COVID epidemic, and you know, they said, look, you know, we can broadcast these games for most of the season, and then we're blocked out, or we have to pay a fee, or we can't do it at all, particularly in some cases in away games and things like that, and more predominantly during the playoffs. So I took it upon myself, working with you know, our staff here in Harrisburg, to put together legislation. It was called the Fair Play in Broadcasting Act, that would essentially require the PIAA to allow our local broadcasters, who again had done it all season long, to come in and continue to provide those services they did for our local community, you know, through their various websites, live streaming sporting events, which, you know, is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And the PIAA, though, pushed back on that. And we had a hearing, you know, probably 3 or 4 years ago now, and they had said, well, we're going to work this out, you know, we should be fair to the local broadcasters, but that did not happen. So for 2 sessions, I had to reintroduce that legislation, trying to build co-sponsors, they're trying to build a coalition with the Pennsylvania Broadcasting Association, because we found that this was something that was happening across the Commonwealth. It wasn't just in Indiana County with my local guys. It was happening across the Commonwealth. And so the problem continued to escalate. It did not get better. And I continued to push for the PIAA to make some changes to allow our local entities to live stream these games as they had been doing all along. And it really comes to a head when you get to the playoffs and you have a grandparent, you know, emailing my office or calling my office saying, hey, what happened? I was allowed to watch my grandchild's sporting events all season long, and now all of a sudden I'm blocked out, or I have to pay a fee to this entity from Oklahoma, I believe. And, you know, there's just so many things that were wrong with that. And so through the course of this entire process, having this legislation pending, we were able to facilitate some meetings with the help of Senator Pittman to get the PIAA and the Pennsylvania Broadcasters Association to the table to talk about how we could resolve this issue.
So what I think is interesting here is that you introduced legislation and it got their attention.
It did.
And you had some hearings, and it further moved the ball forward. Yeah. But you were ultimately able to resolve this issue, not through legislation, but really through a negotiation with the two largest parties affected. And so you were really able to kind of solve this problem without relying on getting this bill on the calendar and moving forward, because it is very hard to pass legislation.
And I think ultimately that's what you want to see happen. You know, there's always the threat of legislation and a law solving the problem, but if these parties can come together, do it amicably on their own to create something that's good for both sides, that's good, more importantly, for these student athletes and their families, so they can watch these sporting events as they have done all season through the playoffs. They can live stream it on their local radio stations' websites. And that's ultimately the conclusion that we wanted to see happen. So I was very pleased that we were able to bring the parties together, again, with the help of Senator Pittman and his staff. We just recently worked this out a few months ago, and they entered into a written agreement where the live streaming will be allowed to occur, and I think both sides will win.
So it's a win for Indiana County, but it's really a win for the entire Commonwealth, because this is something that was affecting everybody. Whether they realized it or not, it was
right.
It was kind of a slow burn to get people to realize, okay, well, you know, this is affecting us in Indiana County. Yeah. Oh, wait, this is affecting me. This is affecting me. So the wheels of policy were moving a little slower mm-hmm. than you want it, but the result is exactly what you saw.
It is. And you can look at this as a win on multiple levels, right? So the contract with the NHSF was with an out-of-state entity. So, you know, the fees they're collecting, I know they were giving some of it back to the school districts, but that was going to an out-of-state entity mm-hmm. where you have these local broadcasters that live and work in the communities, pay local taxes, you know. That keeps their jobs, that helps them sustain their business model and to move forward. And ultimately, though, the winners really for me are the local school districts, the student athletes, and their families, because they can watch their children play sports if they can't make it to the game, live stream through the local radio station. And really, I think that's the overall win for me.
Awesome. Well, that's great, and it's very impressive that you were able to get this policy issue done, get this issue done for Indiana County, get this issue done for the entire state, really, without having to pass a law. And I think that's wonderful. But at the same time, as all this is going on, the Center for Effective Lawmaking came out with a study of last session, not right. the session that we're in, and they found that you are one of the top 10 most effective legislators in the House Republican Caucus. So how does that make you feel?
Well, I think it's something I truly appreciate. Ever since I took office back in 2018, I've worked hard to try and address the issues that affect our community and Commonwealth. The Fair Play and Broadcasting Act is one of those examples. And I've introduced multiple pieces of legislation every session to try and move that ball forward, if you will, as we're talking about sports. But I think that's what it's about, trying to effectuate positive change for my constituents in Indiana County and the people of this Commonwealth. So throughout the years, I've introduced many pieces of legislation signed into law or incorporated into budget code bills that did effectuate that change. And we continue to try and move that forward. And so I'm really pleased to be recognized for that.
Yeah, and just diving into a little bit more, the Center for Effective Lawmaking is not just some made-up entity. It's a joint project between Vanderbilt University and the University of Virginia. So two institutions that kind of work on this together. And what's very interesting is their metrics for putting you in this category mm-hmm. are based on a combination of 15 metrics capturing the bills that each member of each state legislature sponsors, how far their bills move through the lawmaking process, and how substantial their policy proposals are. So, you know, this wasn't just simply you've got good ideas like this that mm-hmm. you introduced. It's looking at the impact of the bills that you're working on and also looking at how you're able to move those important bills forward. So I think quite the honor to see you on that top 10 yeah. list and understand that you're being recognized, again, by a nonpartisan group as an effective legislature. So that's got to make you feel good.
I think it really means a lot. As I've said, throughout the course of my career here in the House of Representatives, I've worked hard to build relationships and, you know, put forth good quality legislation. You don't put your name on something unless you believe in it. And mm-hmm. I've stuck to that. And I've worked hard with stakeholders. You know, it isn't easy to get legislation passed into law. It takes a lot of people weighing in, stakeholders, pros and cons, adjusting it, amending it, changing it session to session to make sure that it is going to be an effective, positive piece of legislation without unintended consequences. And that takes time and commitment. And as I said, relationships are very important, particularly as we're in the minority here in the House Republican Caucus, to work with my colleagues to enable that integrity and trust that you build over time so that when I do have a good piece of legislation, they trust in me that it's going to do what's intended to do and they are willing to work with me to move it forward.
That was actually going to be my next question for you about being in the minority. It does mm-hmm. limit the ability you have to see your legislation move because you're mm-hmm. not just simply asking another Republican to move it. You've got to go to a Democrat to have that move. So got to make you feel good that you are showing a bipartisan effort here. And yeah. that's really ultimately what it's about to get things through. You've got to work with two parties. And then, of course, you have to work with the Senate as well,
right.
Which is a totally different animal in and of itself getting a bill passed through there. So I think it's something that the residents of Indiana County should feel very comfortable and very confident in having you as their state representative. So I think that's the end of our Struzzi Scoop for the end of September, heading into October, and a lot more on tap coming up, I'm sure.